You're listening to the Health Smut Podcast. I'm Dottie Dynamo, sexy worker, burlesque dancer, and the stripper health coach at Fit Showgirl. The health, fitness, and adult entertainment industries are full of dirty diet culture, and I'm here to help you strip it all away so you can quit picking apart your body, dominate the weight room, and build a healthier hustle. Hello, my sexy friends, and welcome to episode 15 of the Health Smut Podcast. On the last episode, I talked a little bit about how 30-day workout challenges can bring up a lot of negative self-talk. So today's episode, we're going to dig into that a little bit deeper about flipping the script on automatic negative thoughts and what those are, how they show up, and like I said, how we can flip the script on them and start to get curious about our thought patterns. So automatic negative thoughts are images, words, feelings that pop into your head in response to a trigger. That trigger can be something like not following through with a 30-day workout challenge. That trigger can be somebody choosing to not get a dance with you. That trigger could be not getting hired at a club. There are lots of things that cause these triggers throughout the day. I mean, it could be spilling your cup of coffee on the floor, right? Anything can cause a trigger to an automatic thought. They can be both positive and negative and are completely reflexive based on our beliefs about ourselves. So most of the time, automatic negative thoughts dictate our self-talk, which can have an impact on how we feel as well as our mental well-being. Because I'm sure if you can imagine that if all day long there is just this mean girl, this really negative Nancy voice in your head, you can start to have some pretty shitty beliefs about yourself and your worth and what you can attain in life. So they start to guide our beliefs and our behaviors, and that can be pretty hard to control. This distorted thinking can be not only distressing, but it can add even more anxiety to the current anxiety in our life. So automatic negative thoughts can be statements like, it's too slow in here to make money. I'm horrible at asking for tips. I'm a failure because I can't stop eating. I'll never be thin enough. I'm so weak. I'll never be able to stop dancing. No one understands me. They tend to fall into that line of thinking of always, should, never, won't. Very absolute and fixed thoughts, right? They don't leave room for possibility. They don't leave room for growth. And since these thoughts are automatic, as the name implies, we don't control them, right? But even though we don't control these thoughts are what just like instantly pop into our head when a certain event happens. It can be hard to believe that we have any sort of power or control over them, but we actually do, and we can start to retrain ourselves. And we do this by becoming more aware of these thoughts. So we can learn to replace them with more rational thoughts and slowly begin to change our mood, our health, and our overall well-being by doing so. But in order to do this, we have to start to get curious. We have to start to observe our own thoughts. So whether or not you are someone who meditates or is familiar with meditation, I find that doing meditation work can be a really great introduction to observing your thoughts, right? Because in meditation, right, we take a few deep breaths, we start to slow our breathing, Maybe we do a body scan. We start to check in on how we feel. And during all of this, most of the time, especially if you're very new to meditation, your brain will want to keep doing things, right? That nonstop little wheel that is inside your head will start to send thoughts your way. And it's in that moment that you notice the thought, you observe the thought, and you send the thought on its way. You don't let that thought consume you. You try to avoid going off into a line of thinking. We're here to notice and observe our thoughts and to create a clean slate. So the idea of retraining our automatic negative thoughts works in a similar way because we have to be able to take a moment and be objective about the thought that we have. So let's take that example of spilling your cup of coffee. I think this is probably a very relevant example. I'm sure we have all at some point, right? Dropped some coffee on the floor, spilled coffee on our shirt, just bought a cup of coffee and then immediately dropped it after you spent some money. What pops into your head when you think about having done that? For me, it's usually like, oh, fuck, I'm such a fucking idiot, right? Or, oh, fuck, I'm a dumb fuck. Or, I'm such a klutz. Or, I'm a disaster. Or, my day is going to be shit. Like, oh, that just ruined my entire day. That thought now is going to dictate the mood that we are in. It's going to foreshadow into the rest of our day. We are setting ourselves up with this line of thinking, with this belief, and that will get carried over into the other things that we do. So a way to challenge automatic negative thoughts, I have a list of questions I'm going to sort of throw at you. So if you want to grab a pen and a paper, open up the notes section on your phone, whatever you have available, I'm going to go through these questions so that you have this for you at a later time when maybe one of these thoughts pops up, or if you want to start to dive deep into this work of challenging these ants or automatic negative thoughts. So the first one is, what facts support this thought? What evidence contradicts it? All right, so what facts in this moment of dropping your coffee supports the, oh, I'm a fucking idiot? What evidence contradicts the thought of, I'm a fucking idiot? Next question. What's the worst possible outcome if this thought were true? Am I overgeneralizing based on past experience? Is there any way to view this in a positive way? Will this matter tomorrow, next week, next month? How? How will it matter? What are the ways I've dealt with this before? What would I say to a friend in this situation? What can I learn from this event? Are my thoughts helping in this scenario, or are they aggravating the situation? Am I using I must, I have to, or I should think here? Is this truly necessary? Can I genuinely control this? So while all of these questions may not be relevant in that moment of, say, spilling your coffee and thinking like, oh, I'm a fucking idiot or I'm a fucking klutz, a lot of them can be applied to that situation. Let's roll through them right now. Again, I'm going to roll through these questions again and apply them to that thought of, oh, I'm a fucking klutz. Okay? So here we are. What facts support this thought? Okay, well, I am very klutzy in general. I run into doorways, I run into walls, I tend to have random bruises, and I drop things a lot. Okay. What evidence contradicts it? I very rarely break important things. I don't knock over expensive, you know, pieces of furniture or televisions or mirrors or heirlooms very often. It tends to just be moments when I'm not paying attention, simple things like my cup of coffee or a plate or a bowl or things that aren't going to make a huge impact on my life or have a lot of sentimental value. All right, what's the worst possible outcome if this thought were true? I'm a fucking klutz. Worst possible outcome? That I'm a klutz. Okay, so maybe I'm not very careful. Maybe I don't pay attention more. That's the worst possible outcome of this. Am I overgeneralizing based on past experience? Yes, 100%. Yes, I'm probably overgeneralizing, right? Because just because you happen to drop something, or maybe you underestimate the width of your hips when you go through a doorway, or you have a tendency to try to carry too many things at once, so you drop things. That's a pretty overgeneralization to say that you are, in fact, a klutzy person. And really, what is a klutz anyway? Okay. Is there any way to view this in a positive way? Well, maybe I didn't need that coffee, or That's a sign from the universe that I've had enough caffeine today. Or maybe that's a sign that I should go drink a fucking water. Right? There are a lot of ways that you could spin that. Will this matter tomorrow, next week, next month? Definitely not. The fact that I spilled my cup of coffee this morning will not matter tomorrow, next week, next month. Honestly, it probably won't matter in about 20 minutes. What are ways I've dealt with this before? Well, I laugh, clean it up, go about my day. I buy another coffee. I accept that I just spilled coffee all over the place, and I say, fuck it, and I decide to have something else to drink instead. What would I say to a friend in this situation? I would probably tell them, oh, it's no big deal. Don't get so worked up. You can get another coffee. Let me buy you a coffee. You know, you can get more coffee. Try not to stress about it and that you're not a klutz. What can I learn from this event? Probably to be more present, in the moment, because if I were more present, if I wasn't letting my thoughts distract me, if I was paying attention to my surroundings, maybe I would not have spilt my coffee. Are my thoughts helping in this scenario, or are they aggravating the situation? In this scenario, if my immediate thought is, oh, fuck, I'm an idiot, or I'm a klutz, they're probably aggravating the situation, right? Because now I'm taking that thought with me as I go on, which means I'm probably more likely to drop something because I've just convinced myself I'm someone who drops things. See how that works? Okay, am I using I must, I have to, or I should think here? Not in this particular phrase or this scenario. And then the last one, can I genuinely control this? No, right? You can't control that sometimes you might spill a fucking cup of coffee. You can't control it. The best that you can do, like I said before, is to try to be more present in the moment. Try to be more aware of your surroundings. But is it the end of the world if you spill it? Does it have to ruin your entire day? No, it can literally just be a blip on the map, but oftentimes we don't allow that to happen because we get so worked up, because we say these things to ourselves, we allow it to change our mood, to change our outlook. So now that we've gone through all those questions, we've kind of run through a scenario of how that would work. Another way to challenge these thought processes is to write down a best case scenario to counter that automatic negative thought, and then come up with a most realistic scenario and rate the likelihood of it from 1 least likely to 10 most likely. So let's use the one that I mentioned, right? It's too slow in here to make money. Write down the best case scenario to counter this thought. Best case scenario, a bachelor party comes in, or one of your regulars comes in, or you get that one customer, because we all know it only takes one. Or someone comes in who is just super generous. Why can I never talk? Generous. Screw it, I can't say that word right now. Or a bunch of girls call out, which means suddenly there's only a few of you there, so it's actually not that slow of customers in proportion to dancers. Now, let's come up with the most realistic scenario. Most realistic scenario is that it's a little slow in the club, but it's up to you how you choose to make money, right? There can be one people or there can be 50 people, but the amount of people in the club does not dictate your ability to make money. And so now we can rate the likelihood of these from 1 to 10. And after you go through this process, you want to ask yourself if you feel the same as before you challenge that thought. So if your original thought was it's too slow in here to make money, and then you go through this process of worst case, best case, what's another alternative, how do you feel about that thought now? And do you feel like there's more opportunity? Has it sort of lifted your mood or made you realize, okay, things aren't as bleak as I thought? Right? Because mindset is more than affirmations. Affirmations are wonderful. I listen to a lot of affirmations in the mornings while I drink my coffee and read my book. I 100% believe in the power of affirmations, but mindset is more than affirmations. It's also getting curious about your thoughts and separating your thoughts from facts and feelings. It's acknowledging that your mindset and these automatic negative thoughts may also be a trauma response. I think a lot of times we negate the possibility, or it's never mentioned, it's never brought up, that your thought process and these automatic thoughts that you have can stem from a trauma response. And telling you to just fix it with affirmations, it's kind of a shitty band-aid, because if you aren't uncovering where those thoughts are coming from or what the root cause is or what the trauma that led to this, doing a bunch of affirmations is really good and it can help, but you sort of have to do that shadow work to uncover what the root problem was so that you can start to heal. And while none of this, of course, is replacement for therapy with a qualified individual, it's a great place to start to understand how often in our life, the thing that is holding us back is us and our thoughts. If you want to dive into this a little bit more, I've linked a really helpful worksheet into the show notes. So go click the show notes. There's a little form you can fill out, enter your name and email address, and then you will be prompted or sent an email with a helpful worksheet to help you go through all of these things we talked about today and unraveling these automatic negative thoughts that you can start to get curious, observe your thoughts, and separate these facts from feelings and reset your mindset. That's all I have for you today. Have a great fucking day. Hustle healthy, my friend.